Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, we've got some fun music for a fun time of the year. Boy, my kids look forward to this time of year almost more than any other time. It is trick-or-treat time. But with trick-or-treat time comes some safety things that as parents, when we're planning the costume and getting the kids ready, that we really need to know. And my guest is Dr. Anita Chandra. She's a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. So, Dr. Chandra, when we're starting to plan for this big night the kids all look forward to, what do you think are some of the most important things you want parents to know right now before they start planning these things?
I think you have to think about safety for your children, and whether that's in the form of the costume that they choose or how they choose to be dressed up, or it's the actual trick-or-treating. But you need to kind of go over this with your children of all age groups. I think with the, if we start out even just talking about walking safety and traffic safety, one of the biggest concerns or the most dangerous concerns I have really is about traffic safety in young children who are running around trick-or-treating, enjoying themselves, and not paying attention to basic traffic laws. And they may be great children, you know, crossing the street at crosswalks and looking both ways all the other times, but somehow on this night they just become a little out of control. So you want to make sure that you are reminding them that they need to cross at crosswalks, that they're traveling in packs or with buddies, that they are using flashlights, and that they look both ways before crossing the street. You want to think about, within their costumes, are they wearing costumes that are bright and reflective? Do their shoes fit well? Is there any chance that they can trip on any part of their costume or get caught up in it all? Is it possible to put any reflective tape or striping on the costumes or on their bags? And, you know, do they have a flashlight with new batteries that they can use? Do they have a cell phone in case they get a little lost or distanced from the group? Do they know how to call 911 if something awful happens? Those are sort of the basic things you want to really talk to them about before we even get to the point of the trick-or-treating night.
Well, I agree with you about the cars being the biggest. I still trick-or-treat with my kids, but every time we cross, because cars go flying by, it's still sort of a holiday night, so teenagers are out and about, driving around to parties, and it's kind of a little scary as a parent.
It is. It is. And you have to think about, you know, with your younger children, they're trick-or-treating as a group, usually with you. And as the children get older, they really want to do this on their own. And you have to know whether or not you feel comfortable with your child trick-or-treating on their own. My general rule of thumb is if you feel like your child is old enough to walk back from an after-school activity where it's a little darker and you feel comfortable with them doing that, then maybe you could let them go with a couple of other kids to go trick-or-treating on their own. But if you don't feel comfortable with that or you don't know your neighborhood, then you have the children get a group of people together and you go with them. Hang back so they feel like they have a little bit of independence, but kind of keep an eye on them because there really are issues that you have to worry about. You know, the children should know that they only go to homes that are well lit, that they never enter a home or go into a car for a treat. They should have a planned path of where they're going to go, and not be running through alleys and across lawns. And they should be in touch with you and, you know, having a cell phone to keep in touch with you in case they do go further away so that you know where they're going.
Well, I certainly agree with that. My son's probably not going to trick-or-treat alone until he's 16 years old. But in any case, what about the costumes? Now, I mean, in today's age, it's certainly different than when I was younger. I mean, now the kids can't even bring a fake gun to school.
Correct. Well, you know, you have to know that you have to have this conversation with your own child about what you think is safe and whatnot. I mean, if there are certain costumes that have like swords or canes or sticks or whatnot, I mean, those you want to make sure that they're not too sharp or not too long. They're not going to create a problem. You want to have this discussion within your family about what you think about a child even carrying a fake gun or a plastic gun. I mean, children will be children and they will pretend to do many things, but the Academy of Pediatrics and I as a pediatrician would say I don't really approve of any child holding any kind of a weapon that looks like a gun. I just don't think that's a great behavior to model. So you want to think about those things. Masks, a lot of children can't handle wearing a mask because it just comes over their eyes and their nose funny. Young children are frightened by so many costumes because they can't tell the difference between reality and fantasy, and so they may see what appears to be a monster and really become afraid of that character and run and pose another danger to themselves by running into the street or running away from somebody or something. So you have to really think this through. And, you know, your school may have certain policies. Some schools have dress-up day in school, and they'll say for sure nothing frightening for the younger children, no weapons, no masks. You know, you can use face paint or hats, but nothing that would be of concern.
Now, as I actually heard a parent last year say, one of the kids said, "Oh, Mom, can I eat some of this?" because we were on the walk. "Oh, sure, I don't really have to check your candy anymore. That was the olden days." Do we still have to check our children's candy?
I think you still have to check your children's candy. The risk that there's going to be something inserted or injected into the candy is probably pretty small. But you want to make sure that your child is eating candy that is fully wrapped, that they're not eating something that is homemade or a fresh fruit unless you know for a
isn't that a shame?
Where it came from, you know, but you have to be careful. And then nowadays there are so many different things out there, so many children with allergies and young children that you worry about all the different candies that they could choke on. So you really do want to go through your child's candy. You may not have to smush it all like my mom used to do, but you definitely want to look through it all.
And what about if your child really wants you to host a party? Are there certain things we need to think about if we're going to host a party full of kids in costumes with food and candy?
Well, again, you need to know about allergies and safety in terms of just the pieces of candy. You could even think about not having as much candy in your own home, but having other projects or coloring activities for the children to do. And then when you think about pumpkin carving and candles, that's a real source of concern because you want to make sure that the children who are only, you know, that really any cutting is done with the adult supervision, and then that you use non-flammable sources of lighting. So if you could put a battery-operated tea light or a flashlight in the pumpkin, that would be better than putting in a real candle. If you are going to put in a real candle, make sure that it's a small votive candle. It's nothing that's going to, you know, have a huge flame and catch anybody or anybody's clothing on fire. And then you want to make sure it's on a sturdy surface. If you put those candles outside, or pumpkins and candles outside, that they're not obstructive to the actual trick-or-treaters or in their path that they could actually injure themselves with. So you want to think about a lot of these things, and definitely remember that this is a child's day and a child's activity, and make sure that you don't get so caught up in the entertainment that you're not paying attention to them or partaking in too many adult activities that would make it difficult to take care of the children.
I used a knife last year that they provided at one of these pumpkin fests that can't cut your child's hand.
I don't know that there's really anything that can never cut anybody.
Well, that's what it says, I know. But it was really kind of cool, and it was able to make the things. So maybe we could even look for things that are not quite as dangerous, because carving pumpkins is a good way to slice yourself up.
Absolutely. Oh, that would be terrible.
That would be absolutely
terrible
awful.
Way to have real blood out there.
Well, sure. I mean, some of the kids probably wouldn't even mind that part. So in the last minute here, Dr. Chandra, give us your very best advice for a really fun and safe Halloween.
Pre-plan it. Have a lot of fun. Think of a great creative costume and, you know, make sure your children are obeying traffic laws and that they have a game plan for where they're going to trick-or-treat and which group of people they're going to stick with. And then pace out the candy a little bit so that there's plenty to go around for the next several months, and then we don't have to worry about bad tummy aches on Halloween night either. So, but enjoy yourself, but just be safe.
Being safe, remembering to know the neighborhood that you're traveling in, go with your kids when you know that they need it, and only let them go on their own when you really feel that they can walk home from later in the afternoon darkened activities on their own. This is all wonderful advice that you're hearing from Dr. Anita Chandra, spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. And remember, you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go, at RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole for RadioMD. Stay well.